Hello on Via Live. Hello, Christian here, the disruptive chef, entrepreneur, host. And today we have a little Q&A because people want to know a little bit more about me and the show. And here we go. Hello and via live. I'm excited to have here in the studio, Julia from my team. And she's going to read some questions we gotten from our listeners, which we're going to answer here live. And people want to know a little bit more about me and the show and all the good stuff. So with that, Julia.
Hello. So my first question was just to ask you about your background and like where you came from.
Wow, that's a good question. So my background is I grew up in a small town of Austria, had the opportunity to be around food my whole life. I did a culinary apprenticeship back home in Austria, graduated as one of the youngest Küchenmeisters in Austria, had the opportunity to open my first restaurant at 19, which I sold to a large company, Wow. which brought me to the US. Coming to the US, not speaking the language, and I made a lot of friends within that company, which allowed me to travel. I did 17 countries with my friends. I had my own restaurants here. It's been a really good ride. I worked for one of the largest food service companies in the world. I was the chief culinary officer for them over a decade, which is quite amazing. So I've been really lucky, made it to the top 1% of my industry. But I always felt that there was more. And the more for me was, why are we doing what we do today? I seen chefs struggling throughout the world, through all the companies and all the countries we worked in. And it doesn't need to be that way. And I felt that the industry needs a cheerleader, and the disruptive chef was born.
That's a very like impressive and like inspiring story. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about like what it was like kind of climbing through the ranks and reaching that like top 1% of the industry, knowing, you know, you were coming into a country where you didn't speak the language and where you were coming from, you know, Austria and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So for me, I was really lucky. I had a lot of good chefs which always looked out for me and took me under the wing. It was hard work and a lot of dedication. I love food. There's nothing better than food. And I always had a good network around me, Julia. So for me, every time there were struggles or if I needed support, I raised my hand and said, hey guys, can somebody help me? And I learned very early on that a network can make you or break you in this industry. And I've been a good networker ever since. And for me, I try to be also a good networker to others, which come to me. So a lot of hardship, a lot of hard work, a lot of mistakes, a lot of learning. But for me, what allowed me to succeed was I have a learner's mindset. And for me, I go home every day and I kind of recap my day, what worked really well, what can we do more of, and what do I need to do less of. And for me, I believe that was my key to success.
So you've always been interested in food, like since you were young?
Yeah, I grew up in a family business, and I always loved food. I think food is such a great mediator. Food is a great opportunity, not just to make new friends, but rekindle old friendship. Food for me is the great medium because it makes no difference what your background, your age is. I think food has a way of bringing people together like no other forum. And for me, food became very personal. And also food for me is a great way to express yourself. And also for me, food is just a way. Look at my career. I did one job and I was able to travel the world with that. And there's very few industries where you can do that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on like the social aspect of food, like going out and like getting food with my friends is one of my favorite ways to hang out and like just going out to Starbucks even. So would you say like from a young age that you knew you were going to be in the culinary industry?
That's a really good question. I never wanted to be in the culinary industry because I seen how much work it was through my parents' business, and I seen how much strain it put on my family's relationship because, you know, food and hospitality never ends. As a matter of fact, I wanted to be a doctor and went to school to be a doctor. And the first day I had to make an incision, I passed out. And I realized I was, you know, more excited about being a doctor than the things which went with it. They obviously kicked me out of school. They said, hey, regular medicine or internal medicine is not for you. Maybe I could become a chiropractor. And I came home. I will never forget this. On a Thursday, Friday morning, my dad said to me, hey, so you did this. So what's next? And I said, hey, I want to travel the world and take the summer off. He says, good, you have to Sunday. And on Sunday, he dropped me off at a hotel where nobody graduated in 9 years because the lady was so tough to work for. And he said, I want you to work there because if you can make it through that, you can make it to anything. She was known to be a very fair, but a very tough person. And the first few months working there, we started at 5 a.m. and we worked from 5 a.m. to midnight. And the first year I worked for free because they taught you a trade. You worked 100% for free.
Wow.
And some days I jumped out the back window. I went home. I said to my dad, this sucks. I don't want to do this. He says, okay. The next morning he brought me in the car and he brought me back. And he says, you know what? That builds that discipline and you got to finish and seek it out. And then I had this, my very first chef. He was Karl Fürtinger, an amazing human being, an amazing chef. And he kind of took me under his wing and he kind of showed me the ropes, and I fell in love not just with food. I fell in love the way he looked at food and what he said food can do, and he was absolutely spot on.
So would you count that like first job working that like, you know, 5 to midnight as like a pivotal career moment in a way?
It was, because so the hotel was a seasonal hotel, and so we worked from 5 a.m. because breakfast started at 6:30 until 2. And then we head off from 2 to 4. We had to be back at 4 because we get ready for dinner service. And then dinner service was done at 10. By the time we cleaned up, it was 11 o'clock midnight. And for me, doing all of that, because it was a hotel, I learned front of the house. I learned back of the house. I learned how you greet guests. What is the financial aspect? So it allowed me to learn the whole aspects of the industry. And then I actually switched my major. I went from just being a chef to hotel and restaurant management and added on 2 more years to my apprenticeship. So I graduated actually with 5 professions. And I also, I'm a chef, I'm a server, I'm a butcher, I'm a front of the house manager. And then, so we had all of this all included in that. And yeah, I think it clicked somewhere near 2 or 3 and saying, hey, this is actually pretty cool. And what the biggest difference for me was, there's no other medium like food, because food is instant satisfaction. You make a great meal, people are happy. And for me, I realized then that food is not just being a chef. And I always said, I'm no longer a chef. I'm an architect of memories, because we created memories with every dish, and that kind of helped me through my whole career.
I love that. It's quite beautiful, actually. So would you say that experience of like working those intense hours just day in and day out influenced your desire to like be an influencer in the industry and like a disruptive chef?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Like our conversation earlier, we said, hey, when come people to the office? I'm usually here at 6:30. And one of somebody in my team said, you crazy, what are you doing here so early? So for me, I am not a lazy person. But what I did learn for this was, if I go somewhere and I see people struggle in the kitchen, I know what they go through because I went through it. You know, I worked for a year for free, you know, 15, 16 hours a day. So for me, if there's a struggle in the industry, I know how it is, because I went through it. And for me, I don't want people to struggle the way I did. So therefore, through our program, is I wanna turn on this light within chefs, that they know that there is transferable skills they have. Because as chefs, we great managers, we good finance people, because the way our industry is, we good with people because we are around people all the time. We know how to build partnerships, because with the vendors and everything, there's so many transferable skills chefs have. And I want to be the cheerleader for them and be the disruptor, therefore the disruptive chef, for them to start thinking differently. Because every chef should have a side hustle. Every chef should have something on the side, because what COVID did to us, it really showed how fragile our industry is. And for me, that became the catalyst of what we do today, because if something like this happens again, I don't want chefs to be here without anything. I want them to have something to fall back on and build something on the side.
So you started out working long hours and you still work long hours.
Yeah, this didn't go away.
What other hobbies do you do like outside of work, and how do you balance like your work life with your personal life?
So that's really good. So, you know, my office is a mile and a half from where I live. So I've been really lucky with my kids. So I bring my daughter to high school in the morning and then I come here, and I'm usually here, like I said, early if I have some international calls. But if I drop her off, I'm here by 7:15, 7:30. And the rest of the team comes in by 9. So it allows me some me time. And I have a little area where I set up a little meditation room. I do a little workout. And then for me, my hobbies, I geek out on space stuff. And we talked about it at lunch. I totally geek out on all of that stuff. I love technology. And then for me, in the summertime, I love tennis. And I have, here's my mascot. I have my little chihuahua here. And for me, just having her around is just amazing. I love that dog. And I've just been really lucky to be able to do what I do.
She's a silly dog. So how did you like end up in Berlin? Because Berlin, Connecticut is you went from like a small town in Austria to a small town in Connecticut.
It's a really good question. So the company which brought me to the US, I had to live in Glendale, California, which is right outside of Burbank, LA. And they allowed us to do company housing. From there, I moved to a little bit outside of Phoenix, Arizona. It was just so hot coming from Austria, you know, where we have snow 9 months a year. Phoenix was no fun. From there, I moved to St. Louis, Missouri. If you ever have the opportunity to go to St. Louis, Missouri, change your plans. I think there's better places to go than St. Louis, Missouri. From there, I moved to Rocky Mount, North Carolina, for the company because we had a chocolate factory there at the time. Then I moved to Fulton, New York. If you ever have the opportunity to go to Fulton, New York, don't. And from there, the company put us up in New York City. And I loved New York City. I loved living there because we had company housing, but I started to deliver my own. I realized how expensive New York City was. And then an opportunity came up that our R&D center was in New Milford, Connecticut. And so I moved to Connecticut, at the time lived in Woodbury, Connecticut. And from Woodbury, I met my wife, which was from Westfield, Massachusetts, or she is from Westfield, Massachusetts. And we liked old houses. And so we started looking for old houses, and we fell in love with the 1775 Colonial in Berlin, Connecticut. And that's how we wound up in Berlin.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute. My last question is, if you weren't a chef or like an influencer in like the culinary world, what would you be?
Oh my God, this is a really good question. I want to say, so there was two other hobbies I had as I was young. I loved flying. I actually have 60 hours as a single engine pilot. Wow. I think if I wouldn't be a chef, I would be a pilot.
Ooh, that's cool. Thank you for answering.
Any other questions? You're welcome. So thanks. If you, hopefully that answers some of the questions you guys had, why are we doing the Disruptive Chef and what my background is. If you have any additional questions, just reach out to us. And if you haven't done so, please like this episode. Also join our private community, which is the Disruptive Chef .club, which is our private community where we do the latest and greatest showcase. We give them some free tools of some of the new things we're rolling out. They also get a little bit of behind the scene of what we do. They also get to meet our staff. And then also when you're part of our private community, we offer you to become part of our Culinary Executive Mastermind, which is our mastermind group where we meet twice a month, and you are able to test dress there for 60 days for free. So with that, I want to say thanks for listening and checking in today. I'm signing off. So be the chef who sets the world on fire. Until next time, I'm your host, Christian Fischer. I talk to you guys next.